So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F-35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. On Monday, January 7th, Democrat Tony Evers will take the oath of office to become Wisconsin 46th governor. So Wisconsin, I want to thank Tony Evers for coming in to preview that process and transition. Thanks. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here again.
Kind of busy last 2 months?
Kind of busy, yes.
Have you found 3 million Wisconsin residents that want to work for you? You've only got 270 jobs.
I know. It's hard to narrow down. But yes, we've had lots of interest, but lots of good people, too. So that's a good thing.
Summarize the theme of your inauguration speech on Monday.
Sure. I'll be talking mostly about issues of Wisconsin values, about civil discourse, about finding common ground, about giving people hope. Those are things I'm going to talk about. It's probably not a speech that's going to go down in the ages, but it's something that I feel strongly about, and it's part of my DNA. You know, I know being in the political arena is always, people are looking for this, and they get it. But the bottom line is, if we want to accomplish something as a state, we have to look beyond political parties and the politics of resentment and really focus on what's important for the people. So it's about finding common ground, civil discourse, respecting people's opinions.
Is this going to set the stage for both your state of the state and then eventually your budget?
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
Have you got a tentative date to present your budget? I hear February 12th, 19th.
We're going to be asking for an extension, just like most other administrations have. And we're hoping to get it late February, maybe early March.
Oh, really?
Like that.
It might go into that.
Yeah, we hope. We'll see. We'll see what the leaders agree to.
Thank you. Yeah. Before November 6th, you at one point said you hope to announce a highway funding deal on Inauguration Day.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen, sir?
No, it's not going to happen. Okay. But it will be part of our budget.
Okay.
We believe by the time our budget is submitted that we will have general consensus of our own, at least with the stakeholders. I can't speak for the legislature, but with the stakeholders, that how we're going to solve this problem. Yes.
You didn't name a highway funding advisory council, did you?
No.
Why?
Well, we brought together people that met with our transition team.
Yes.
All the stakeholders. So we have some good ideas of what's going on there. But I'm waiting till after the inauguration. I will, you know, then, you know, Craig Thompson will be the designee of the Department of Transportation. He will be bringing people together. And, you know, they've got the data. It's not an issue about the data. It's about what politically we can accomplish. And I think Craig is the perfect person to help make that happen.
Do you want to go beyond the everything is on the table that we heard before the campaign and the day after?
I'm waiting for Craig Thompson to bring people together and give me their recommendations.
Are you concerned about the statement issued by Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald saying maybe you should rethink Craig Thompson's appointment since he was an advocate of raising taxes to pay for our highways, sir?
No, there's nobody in the state of Wisconsin that knows more about transportation policy and the options available than Craig Thompson. He's a talented leader, and I look forward to having him be the Department of Transportation Secretary. He's the one that can. He's worked both sides of the aisle already, and so why not have somebody that has that position? Has that experience. So he's talented. He's the right person for the job. He can bring people together. I expect that he's going to be able to come up with some good solutions.
You expect him to be confirmed, especially
yes.
You do.
Sure. I understand that some people might, you know, feel that the last election he was in a different place than they wanted him to be. Okay, it's a new day now. We have to kind of set things aside and move forward.
Well, but we're talking about a state senate that refused to confirm the administrators of the Ethics and Elections Commission. I just wondered if whether that set a precedent that concerns you, sir.
Well, No, it does not. Craig Thompson is an extraordinarily gifted person in transportation policy. You bring people together. I think at the end of the day, people understand that our secretaries are people that are people of goodwill. They want to do the right thing for the people of Wisconsin, and they will be approved.
You then expect him to be approved. You've got no plan B if he's rejected by the Senate.
No.
You don't.
I expect him to be approved.
The 11 appointments that you have announced so far did not include any state capital insiders. Mm-hmm. There's a message there. What's that message, sir?
Well, we're not done either.
You've got revenue, children and families, right. Health services, and I think I'm missing one.
Yes, I think there's another one missing there, too. I'm trying to remember.
How soon are we going to hear?
This week. Sometime this week.
Okay, so you'll have your full cabinet in place on Tuesday?
That's a hope, unless something extraordinary happens. That's a hope. Yeah, there's not a lot of insiders, but the fact of the matter is we chose people for several reasons. One is they're experts, and second of all, and actually most important, they're good leaders, and they know how to bring the best out of people, and that's an important thing, I believe, in state government these days. I think state employees have felt a little put upon for the last 8 years. And so it's important to listen to the voice, but also the leaders that we're selecting are people that can connect the dots and move outside of their spheres of influence to help solve other problems.
Do you want your cabinet secretaries to have strong, operate from a position of strength? Because I've seen governors who less relied on cabinet, and chief of staff DOA pretty much dictated things. So give us your philosophy on what you expect from your cabinet secretaries.
They're all equally important. And I'll just use this as an example because I think it's a good one. Otherwise, I wouldn't use it. But the ideas of correctional reform. In criminal justice reform. That just doesn't exist. That can't be solved just by the Secretary of the Department of Corrections. Mm-hmm. It deals with health care. It deals with housing. It deals with education. It deals with children and families. All those secretaries and others, frankly, need to come together to help solve that problem. And so that's what I look for, people that have the good leadership skills that they can intuitively connect the dots. That's really important to me. So they're all going to play a huge role, whether it's Department of Financial Institutions or the Department of Administration. Certainly the Department of Administration has some kind of overall view of the world, but these other folks are just as important.
How do you intend to use the Lieutenant Governor?
He's an extremely gifted person, and so I'm looking forward to having him be a full partner in solving these big problems. I know he has, you know, in his heart, he cares a lot about issues around corrections and correctional institutions and making sure that we have good criminal justice reform. I know those are things that are important to him. But I'm not going to pigeonhole him in any area. He's extremely gifted. We're going to be using him throughout state government.
Well, you go to Milwaukee a lot. Do you mm-hmm. consider the Lieutenant Governor your unofficial ambassador to Milwaukee?
Well, certainly,
since
he can play that role. Absolutely, he served in the assembly, but I get there. I get to Milwaukee a lot. I don't live there, and I've never lived there, and Manila has, and still does. So, do I respect his opinion around Milwaukee and urban areas of the state? Absolutely, but he can be he's extremely gifted. He can be a good ombudsman for Department of Agriculture, too. I have no question about his ability to lead in a number of different areas, and we're going to use him to the best advantage.
When Assembly Majority Leader Steinicke issues a press release saying he hopes there are cabinet appointments that aren't from Dane and Milwaukee County, your response?
Yeah, well, there have been. There's been one, I think, but there will be out of the next few. So, yes, that's great, but we look for talent and the ability to lead. And that's what drives it. You know, do we want to have the others across the state be involved? Yes. But I'll tell you what, there's a limited, I don't know how many, 17 cabinet positions, something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, there's more than 17 municipalities in the state of Wisconsin. So clearly, I might not find somebody from Rhinelander, or I might not find somebody from Verona. But the fact of the matter is, as governor, I'm going to be traveling the state of Wisconsin. I'm going to, as well as Mandela, we will continue to be recognized and work in places all across the state. That's my job. So the fact that we haven't gotten every municipality covered in the cabinet, well, it's a physical impossibility. We're looking for talent.
Wisconsin, I covered your budget listening session in La Crosse.
Yeah.
You told reporters there when asked about Medicaid expansion, you're going to take that issue to the people. Can you explain how that's going to work, sir?
Absolutely. We're going to take the entire budget to the people of Wisconsin. We, whether it's around transportation or health care or education, we will be going out just like we did with a budget input listening session, saying, okay, this is what we've come up with. How can you, what do you see a problem with? But most importantly, how can you be active participants in the budget process? Clearly, the legislature is going to be part of it, but we want the people of Wisconsin to help own this one, too.
Well, but the two Republican leaders of the legislature say we don't support that. Are you at a position where any budget you sign is going to have to include expansion of Medicaid, Mr. Evers?
We're going to give it our best shot, and I think we can. To say that we'd pass the budget without Medicaid expansion makes no sense to me. It's something the people of Wisconsin have asked for, and every state that's done it, none of them have gone backwards and say, okay, enough of this. So it's the right thing for Wisconsin. We believe that we can get a majority of the legislators to believe that, too.
The Wisconsin State Journal reported on December 23rd that Speaker Voss hopes to hire additional staffers to develop expertise in administrative rules and potentially draft a Republican alternative to your budget.
Right.
How would you describe your relationship with Speaker Voss?
Oh, well, I've known him in the past. We've met subsequent to the election. We get along fine. Obviously, we're from different worlds politically, but that doesn't mean we can't come to some come to some common ground. And I think this is one we can. You know, clearly he has drawn a line in the sand, but that doesn't mean that every other Republican in the assembly feels the same way. I think there are ways for us to get to a good place on the Medicaid expansion. If other Republican states that are fully Republican, even with Republican governors, can have accomplished that, we can accomplish it too. And a lot of the people that voted for probably Scott Walker and voted for Republican assemblymen and women and the state Senate, they want this too. I mean, it's not like this is a everybody marches to the same drummer here. So I feel confident we can convince the people of Wisconsin that it's important, and they can convince the legislators it's important.
When Speaker Voss says we GOP leaders may draft an alternative budget, does that concern you?
Well, I'd like to follow the process that's been done for centuries here, or a century. But they can do what they have to do. We'll do what we have to do. But I believe our budget will be received by the people of Wisconsin in a positive way, and that will cause the legislature to take our budget seriously.
Two follow-up questions on your budget. The middle-class tax cut that you ran on, partly, would that take effect on January 1 of 19, or would it take effect on January 1 of 2020?
We just had this discussion the other day, and I believe it would likely happen the second of 2020.
2020.
I believe that, but I'm because there was some, we had that discussion, and it seemed like it was a little bit in the middle ground, and so I hesitate. That's what I remembered.
And then is it still your intent to largely pay for that by limiting the manufacturing ag credit?
So yes.
It is?
Yes. It's not getting rid of it. It's just that
you have a $300,000 cap.
Right.
Which you think
it's
is
a
reasonable.
Cap, but yes. I mean, people that earn $20 million still will get a credit up to $300,000. I think that's an adequate amount, and I also believe that that protects small farmers and farmers and small business people who don't earn $300,000 a year, and that's a lot of people in the state of Wisconsin.
Another budget issue I want to ask you about,
sure.
School choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you anticipate your budget freezing, in essence, the Milwaukee, the Racine, and the statewide programs? Do you foresee your budget dialing them back, sir?
Well, we're still in the process of discussing.
Yes.
And I can tell you that the one thing that we ran on is to make sure that we have accountability and transparency. And I know that one of the decisions we have made is that we believe that every property tax bill that people get in the state of Wisconsin should have that information on it. They know how much money of their school district's state aid goes to support the voucher program. So that will definitely be in the budget. The other things now we're trying to figure out.
Well, you and I know that Choice is up to $245 million a year program.
Yeah.
Would you like to redirect some of that money to the K-12s?
Well, I think we can deal with K-12 even outside of the the conversation about vouchers. That budget that I prepared as state superintendent is going to be in our budget going forward,
which is an upper of 1.3 or 1.4 billion over two.
Correct.
Excuse me, I interrupted you.
Yeah, correct. $1.4 billion. We believe that can happen without a property tax increase. Also, I feel confident about that part of the bill. What we're discussing now is the kind of issues that, frankly, will continue to bedevil us going forward, is how we can afford several separate publicly funded systems of education in the state. I think that's a rational thing to worry about. And so what we're doing is for sure putting in place one of those things that creates greater transparency so that we can have that discussion.
Well, just to be clear, your budget isn't going to recommend the end of school choice in
no.
Wisconsin.
No.
It will not
do that. I mean, we have 30,000 plus kids in there. That can't happen, and I've never said that can happen.
The toughest budget issue for you, is it transportation highway funding, sir?
I think we're closer to having some conclusion around transportation, actually, just because in the past it's been primarily an argument with the governor who wanted to borrow to solve our problems. I think we can find some common ground around that. So I think that will be not easy, but we can get there. I think the most important one that we're going to work very hard on is to make sure that we have a good discussion and reach common ground around health care and the Medicaid expansion. That, you know, clearly Representative Voss has made his wishes known on this. But I think once people get together and start thinking through exactly what it will mean for us financially and healthcare-wise, to me it's a no-brainer. And so we want to convince others that it's easily understandable.
Congress just passed and the president just signed criminal justice reform.
Yes.
But it affects only federal inmates.
Right.
Does that open the door to reform at the state level? Will that be part of your next budget, sir?
Well, some of the building blocks will likely be in there, because it's not going to happen overnight. As we talked about earlier, that's going to impact health care, you know, economic development, child care, all the things that are part of state government. But you're right. That was an extraordinary event that kind of went unnoticed. And you think
82 about, Senate votes.
Yes, and Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump making it happen.
I mean, yes, that was quite a photo op, wasn't it?
What a world we live in. So anyway, I think the wind is at our back on this issue. Can we solve it all in one budget time or one biennium? Probably not. But we have to get to a point where people of Wisconsin get it, that we, and I think our legislators get it too. We're seeing it with Lincoln Hills and how we're saying, okay, maybe corrections shouldn't look this way. Maybe we shouldn't be incarcerating as many people as we had before. There are better ways to skin this cat than the way we're doing it right now. And you know, Governor Thompson has talked about it. Now Donald Trump has talked about it. I think we're in a good position. I think we can start moving this forward. I'm not sure how much we can accomplish in one budget, but I think we can do some things.
You mentioned Lincoln Hills. Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable with the path that the last session set, which is you close Lincoln Hills, it becomes a medium security facility,
right,
and then the concept of regional county-run facilities.
Right.
Are you convinced that's the wisest next step in our juvenile justice
system? Yes, it is. And I supported the bill that was passed, and I, you know, it was several years too late, like six, but we finally got there. But I was on that committee, that transition committee, that worked with Department of Corrections people and my day job as state superintendent, and I think it was good work, and that's another reason it gives me hope that we can do some changes here long term, because people talked about rehabilitation and how important that is and getting people back to their families, all that sort of thing that is part and parcel of having some change here. But the thing that concerns me, I don't know if the legislature has allocated enough resources for this specific transition. And as a committee member, we made our recommendations, and then we were waiting for some decisions by the Department of Corrections, which didn't happen. I'm guessing that election caused that. So I have to find out where what their thinking is before, you know, I can make a comment. But I think it was clear to me and other committee members that there wasn't going to be enough money allocated to do what people needed to do.
In your next budget, will the UW system get more than the Department of Corrections? Because that's been an issue you've raised.
That's got to be the trajectory we're on. That's for sure. We're going to be providing more resources to the University of Wisconsin system. There's no question about that. And we have to start the process of rethinking how we do corrections also.
I was curious about a statement you made that the worst part of your job as superintendent is serving on the regents. What changes do you want to see on the regents, and do you have confidence in Mr. Cross?
Yes, it's not Ray Cross. It's the issue around the Board of Regents policies about I felt many times they were not acting independent of the governor and the legislature. And they made it clear many times, so I guess it wasn't just me guessing. And we need to give them, the ones that are left and the ones that I appoint, freedom to actually do what they think is best for the University of Wisconsin system instead of essentially being an arm of the legislature or the governor. I just don't think that works. And I think it's the wrong do final decisions, many of them are going to be made by the legislature and governor. Mm-hmm. Yes, I get that. But as far as kind of day-to-day work of the university, we need to have some level of independence there, and that can only happen with the Board of Regents.
Well, I want to go back to an idea that was floated and quickly shot down 5 or 6 years ago, where the then chancellor at UW-Madison suggested some type of independent autonomy mm-hmm. for the UW-Madison. Are you recommending taking another look at that, sir?
No, I'm not. All I want is the governing board of the University of Wisconsin system to feel that they have independence and that they don't take the directions from me or the legislature.
Okay. You're not a fan of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation.
No.
Will your budget call for going back to you have stressed a regional approach to economic development.
Right.
Will your budget go back to a Commerce Department? And what about that transition because of this awkward period?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how are you going to handle the transition with WEDC, sir?
Right. Well, that was one of the pieces of the hot mess of the lame duck session.
It's a curious term, hot mess. Excuse me.
Yes, it is, because it was. The lame duck session, that's one of the more egregious things. Essentially, it is now, at least for the next 9 months, an arm of the legislature. They have control over who's running it, and they have control, if they have control who's running it, they have control of who is the board members and the leadership. So what have we done? So I'm not going to be proposing anything to budget about WEDC.
You're not?
No, I am not.
Even a year out or anything?
No, we're going to, we need to get this 9 month thing done.
And yes.
And I was never certain that changing of WEDC was part and parcel of the budget anyway. It could have been separate legislation. So we need to get through this 9 month period. And in the meantime, what we're trying to do is create some working relationship with the leadership of WEDC. Hopefully also get it into a position where it can be, you know, it is a public issue. It's a public agency of sorts, and transparency is important. And I just think we have to be a little more transparent in those operations. But I'm also spending a lot of time with business groups around the state saying, okay, if not WEDC, what? And, you know, take a look at what they want and need. But in the meantime, I've got to get through this 9 months and still be not the most important piece of economic development is around decisions that I personally make. And I want to make sure that we're going to still do that. And so I have to have some work around the WEDC thing because of what the legislature created.
Beginning Monday when you're governor,
yep.
The development of Foxconn is going to take place on your watch.
Yes, absolutely.
How many times have you met with Foxconn executives to kind of get to know each other?
Well, over the phone once and face-to-face once. And we've been able to establish those good working relationships, and I believe we will going forward. But it also gets back to the thing I just talked about, is that, yes, we have to make sure that they're successful and allowed their business. They should be allowed to make some business decisions. But it's also the most high-profile and heavily publicly financed project the state of Wisconsin has ever had. Mm-hmm. We can't afford to have every week or every month some issue come up that we have to go back and, you know, correct, you know, such as, you know, having the people working outside of the state count as one of the, I mean, that should all be taken care of beforehand, and if there's more transparency, we can do that. So I'll be pushing that issue and making sure that, but we have to have good working relationships with them because of the WEDEC piece of the lame duck session. We will be going working directly with them.
Do you still have concerns about the emission rules and the water diversion that have been enacted to benefit Foxconn Development, sir?
Well, certainly, yes, both of them. I think they're making some proactive steps to deal with the water piece. But, you know, we still need to hold our feet to the fire. The air emission ones, I'm going to wait until I'm in office and I have our DNR secretary in place and the scientists involved in a different way at the DNR. And to make a decision about the air quality, whether that has to be revisited or not.
In your two conversations with Foxconn executives, mm-hmm. had they indicated any scaling back of the very expansive plans that they originally announced?
Well, we've talked about that generally, but I have no more information than what I've read in the newspaper about it. So, yes, they're making business decisions, and I understand that. Sometimes you have to do that based on markets and all that. But the fact of the matter is, because it's such a high-profile, heavily publicly financed enterprise, we have to be willing to be more transparent so that people aren't surprised. Because everything that Foxconn does and the state of Wisconsin does as it relates to Foxconn is going to be heavily scrutinized. It has to be. It's billions of dollars. So I'm going to be very explicit about that. And I have been.
The Kimberly-Clark tax package, mm-hmm. would you have pursued that or under different terms or an aid package for the entire papermaking industry?
Yeah, the latter. I think somehow helping the papermaking industry makes them, you know, obviously they're in a different world than they were 30 years ago, and we need to help make them that transition. It would have been better done a long time ago and impacting the entire industry. That said, Kimberly-Clark's proposal has been, you know, it's part of the world now. We'll just live with it.
You'll live with it.
Yeah.
You're not a lawyer, but you're getting advice from some very, very smart lawyers. Mm-hmm. My question is, are they advising you that some of the lame duck actions illegally infringed on the inherent powers of the governor's office?
Yeah. Yes, they have. Yes, they have.
Well, what's the most egregious example? Excuse me for interrupting.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, clearly, the one with WEDEC was very problematic, and also, frankly, the ones with the Attorney General were highly problematic.
But that's a separate constitutional office.
Yeah, absolutely. But so I can't tell you that there's one more important than the other, but most, if not all, of that, I think, fits in that category. We haven't made any – I haven't made any decisions what I'm going to do as governor mm-hmm. or as a private citizen. Around this, I fully expect that, and I just because I already see it in action, where outside interest groups are going to be litigating this. And having gone through this as state superintendent, I think I'll probably be the defendant in many of these cases rather than somebody bringing the charges, because I'll be governor and it'll be outside groups.
So you expect lawsuits that just challenge narrowly whether the lame duck bills illegally infringed on the authority of the governor's office.
Sure. I anticipate those happening. Yes.
Okay. A couple other questions. Personal questions. You
sure.
and your wife, Kathy, moving to the executive residence?
Yes, we are.
How soon? Packing up now?
Packing, yes. And that's an issue. That's an issue. We got a lot of stuff to throw away. But yes, we will be moving to the executive residence mid-January.
And your campaign has continued to send out fundraising solicitations. Mm-hmm. You're going to be doing that for all 4 years?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Why?
That's
isn't there some moral high ground to claim by saying we're going to stop?
Well, you'd love to, but the fact of the matter is 4 years is 4 years. I'm not going to be actively campaigning for 4 years, believe me. It's like I was state superintendent, I had a fundraiser every year, and I will likely do the same thing here. I'm making no decisions on whether I run for re-election or not, but if you wait till the last minute to start the process, you don't have a decision to be made.
And finally, can you talk about why you appointed Ms. Carolyn Sanford Taylor to be your successor at DPI?
Yeah, she's an outstanding human being. I've worked with her for over 17 years now, and I can think of no one that's more caring or more thoughtful about public education and the kids of the state of Wisconsin. She'll be a great appointee to that position, and she's well respected around the state. She's well respected within the organization, and I think she'll be a great state superintendent.
Looking forward to Monday?
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be a fun day and an important day, and we're going to be talking about how important it is to have civil discourse in the state of Wisconsin.
You and Kathy practice up on the dance lessons
for
the first day?
Yeah, we're working on that.
Okay.
Yes.
Governor-elect Tony Evers.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.